It's time for our monthly podcast right here on WordPress Radio. Going to talk a little NFL on the program today and also discuss our predictions for the Chicago Cubs this offseason. Welcome to TY's 20. Always good to be with you talking sports. As I said on last month's show, this offseason for the Chicago Cubs is probably going to be a lot more entertaining and interesting than the regular season itself. The Cubs just with 70 wins on the season, only three games left. But this offseason is going to be crazy for the team. They're going to have a new general manager. Good chance that that general manager will bring in a new manager and coaching staff. Very tough decision on what to do with Aramis Ramirez. They might try and get rid of Carlos Zambrano. They do have a lot of money to spend, so they could be in the mix for some big-name free agents. Or the new GM might decide it's better just to make 2012 a full rebuilding year. It's really hard to say. Andrew Wacopi joins me on the program, and he's going to be with us for the entire program today as we talk about the Cubbies and the NFL. Andrew, you got double duty today. Are you sure you can handle that?
Well, I've been training very hard for this opportunity, calling into a lot of local radio shows. I think I can handle it. I hope we don't disappoint.
Sounds good to me. So, Andrew, talking with you over the last month or so, I'm going to assume that you would still like the Cubs to rebuild. You know, you've mentioned Andrew Friedman as possibly being your number one choice for general manager. I'm going to guess that that's where you stand. You want the Cubs to just be completely young next year, get rid of Ramirez and Soriano and Zambrano. You know, is that a logical, you know, is that where you're at right now?
Absolutely. I think you just have to decide what you want to be. You can be that team that is always just going along, trying to do everything they can in the free agent market or trade market every year and just living year to year. Or you can go back, start from scratch, build from the ground up, build an organization that will continually be good. There's no reason with the resources we have, financial and just the brand name that the Cubs have, that there's no reason they can't go out. And if they do it right, they can't consistently be in the playoffs, fighting for a playoff spot, something for the World Series championship, just like the Red Sox and the Yankees do every year.
Yeah, I've been saying for a while that it should not be that hard to win here with these resources and this fan base and everything like that. I'm actually pretty undecided on this offseason. There are a couple key names that I still think the Cubs can and should go for, and those names are C.J. Wilson and Prince Fielder. Now, if you can bring in one or even both those guys, I'm not saying that's going to turn us into instant contenders, but with that said, I think those are guys that can help us long-term. So you usually don't go for a big-name free agent if you're rebuilding. But I think we can still bring in somebody like that and still rebuild at the same time, and those guys are young enough that they can help us long-term. I have no idea if that's the direction they will go, but that's just my personal take. I think the Cubs have a lot of things to fix, and those are a couple things that are high up on the list, getting a top rotation guy and getting a guy for the middle of the order. But whether that happens, you know, who knows? It's going to be a crazy offseason. But my next question to you is this. Under any circumstance, can the Cubs contend next year? What would have to happen for that to even be possible?
I definitely think it's possible to contend for at least a division title. You know, they have quite a few things go wrong for them this year. Cashman getting hurt initially. Maybe Cashman comes back and can be a good three or four guy in the rotation next year. Randy Wells that seems to have rough starts to the year and then really picks it up at the end. Maybe if we get a more consistent year out of him without the – he also had an injury at the beginning of the year, so maybe if we get him for the full season, that really helps your pitching staff. Bullpen's got an opportunity to be really solid. I heard somebody talking about Marmol the other day saying they'd really like him to be a little bit more consistent in changing his mechanics or evaluating his mechanics from pitch to pitch. Seems like he goes out and if he has a couple bad pitches, it kind of snowballs. Build into a big inning for the other team. So if you can work on that, you know, back of the bullpen solid. Fielding, they're offensively, and you've had a couple guys with some down years, you know, Gio Soto, can he come back and be the catcher that everybody expects he could be? He's still got, you know, 21 home run power. You put him in a good spot in the lineup. If the rest of the lineup develops around him, you could really see an improvement there. I think Darwin Barney's turned into a very serviceable second baseman. He's not going to go out and win you an All-Star game or you know, multiple All-Star game appearances, but he's going to be a solid contributor there. Soriano, you know, it'd be great if we could dump him, but even if you do dump him, you're still going to have somebody out there. He's still good for a couple streaks of power during the season, pretty useless in the playoffs, but, you know, maybe you can do something with that. If you bring in a couple guys like C.J. Wilson, Prince Fielder, I think you're definitely in contention for the division title. But I would still say, do we want to contend for the division title next year, or do we want to spend the next 20 years competing for world championships?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and you know, who knows if we can have both. I think a lot of things would have to happen in order for that to be possible. The thing that's been the most disappointing for me this year is that the things that we thought were the for sure things have not been very good whatsoever. You know, we came into this year thinking our rotation was going to be real solid. Matt Garza has been as good as advertised, but Dempster's had a down year. Zambrano has been terrible, and who knows if he's even going to come back. Carlos Marmol, we were banking on being a for sure thing at the back end of the the bullpen. But, you know, as it goes with the Cubs, you give a guy a contract and he ends up sucking. Giovanni Soto has had a disappointing year. There's just a lot of things about this team that we thought were going to be some of the only good things, and even those have been disappointing. So when you think about those moving forward, how easy would it be for us to contend if those guys are, you know, just on the downhill slide of their career? For me, I think the Cubs need two more bats, including one big one. I mean, big-time middle-of-the-order hitter. And I also think Andrew Cashner has to be healthy next year for us to have any chance. And the two key guys to have better years, I think, are Marmol and Dempster. If those guys don't have better seasons, you know, I think it's going to be a long uphill climb if we try to contend next year. But it's really been a pathetic season, and I think this offseason is going to be a lot more fun than what we've watched on the field, don't you think? So now, this is a difficult question, but we're actually going to predict what's going to happen. We've discussed what we kind of hope will happen, but this is just straight up, and this is really difficult to do because we have no clue. Tom Ricketts isn't telling us anything about what he thinks will even happen. But let's go ahead and predict what you think will happen this offseason from top to bottom.
I think Tom Ricketts is a smart guy. He built a great company in just the business world. So let's say that we're hopeful and he's going to do a quality job in taking care of things. We'll start with saying that I think GMs, just the way it's going to go, you're not going to get Billy Bean. And even if you could, do you really want Billy Bean? Yeah, he's famous for the Moneyball stuff, but how many prospects have you really seen develop in the Oakland A's organization over the last 10 years that you're just dying to have? Let's throw him out. I don't think Theo Epstein is going to leave Boston. I don't think Cander Friedman, as much as I would love to have him be the head of the Cubs organization, he's not going to leave Tampa. He's too good of friends with the owners. They came in kind of as a group project to turn that franchise around. I think he stays there. I think that really leaves Rick Hahn is going to be the big name. He's not a big name, but the guy that is going to get it. He's an assistant GM for the White Sox. Things are really turbulent on the south side of Chicago these days. Not knowing if Ozzy's coming back, Kenny Williams, who knows, maybe he's ready to get away from it, good take of the time. I wouldn't be surprised to see somebody get like a baseball operations title over him, maybe a Pat Gillick or something like that, just because it'll be the first time Rickon's been a GM. And after that, I think you're going to see Mike Clotty go. I'd love to see, I've heard rumblings that Terry Francona is maybe on the last leg in Boston. That'd be great if you could get him out of Boston, bring him to Chicago. Again, that's not going to happen. That's a dream world. But we'll see some sort of new manager. I would assume you're going to see an attempt to get rid of some of the salary that we have stacked on the team right now, on Alfonso Soriano, Carlos Zambrano. In an ideal world, I'd love to see Carlos Marmol go, get something for him while you can. Closers always tend to have shorter careers unless your name's Mariano Rivera or Trevor Hoffman. So I think you'll see some shedding of salary. Try and get some efficient guys in there. I think they'll take a run at Prince Fielder. I don't know that they've got the money to get it done. I think Washington could be a big bidder on him. So I think you're going to see some maybe placeholder signings, guys like Marlon Byrd was a couple of years ago, just to hold over until we kind of get down the road a little bit into the evaluation. I expect maybe a middling year next year where we'll sub 500 for the most part. Unless we get some big surprise and we can actually pull off something like Prince Fielder and T.J. Wilson.
Yeah, you forgot LaTroy Hawkins in there as dominant closers for a long period of time. Just wanted to make sure you knew that. In my notes, as I've thought about this, I also have Hahn as our general manager. I think Friedman's the guy that I want the most. But I think when you just hear all the stories about what makes the most sense, I think it's going to be Han. But who knows? I don't really know a ton about the guy. I know he's highly respected and he's ready to be a general manager. Whether or not I want him running my team for the next 10 or 20 years, I really don't know. But I'm actually also going to predict this. I think if Han is a general manager, I think Mr. Sandberg has an excellent chance to come back and be the manager of the team. That's another thing that I'm still unsure about. I'm a little more leaning towards giving him a chance this year than last year for sure, because he's had, you know, another very successful year in the minors. That's 5 years now. And but, you know, like you said, Francona or some of those guys, if they become available, I would be all for bringing in a proven guy to this organization. I'm actually going to predict that Prince Fielder is a Cub next year. I think we're just going to, you know, offer him the highest contract of any, and I think he's going to come here knowing – I think he's a guy that really, really just wants the money. And I think if he comes here and realizes that his first year at age 28 may be a rough one, that he may be okay with that, and he's going to be signed long-term, he's going to be the big hoss of the town, pun intended, completely there. And I just think it's going to happen. Now, the thing with the Aramis Ramirez, I'm starting to lean towards the fact that he's not going to be here, which is crazy because I know he still wants to be in a way. I think if you go out and get Prince Fielder, it's kind of a little bit of a waste in terms of trying to contend next season if you don't have Ramirez as the cleanup hitter and you just go back to having one good bat in the lineup. But I'm with you. I think the Cubs are looking at a 500 season maybe at best going into next year, even if they bring in Prince Fielder. I think Carlos Zambrano will be traded, and I think Soriano will be back. So I hope for some good things to happen, but, you know, we could be completely off with every one of our assertions. This team could go full-out rebuild and not sign anybody. You know, they could sign a top GM and a top manager. They could sign a bunch of crap for all we know. We really have no idea. That's what makes it a little interesting, though.
It's the joys of being a Cub fan. You never know what you're going to get except for a little bit of disappointment at the end of the season.
A little bit or a lot, depending, you know?
A lot, generally, yeah.
All right, so much more to talk about with the Cubs. You know, next month's podcast, we may not have anything new for you because that'll be towards the end of the playoffs. But the one after that, there could be a lot of news. So stay tuned for that, and we look forward to talking about them. We're going to shift focus now and talk about the NFL, and we're going to start by talking about our beloved teams, the Colts and the Bears. We'll start with the Colts because this is my show, right? Colts are 0-3, which is not surprising to me at all. It's surprising to some people who I think blindly thought that the Colts were built a little bit stronger than what they are. But with that said, I don't blame the team for being bad without Peyton Manning. When you have a player that who could, you know, is one of the best in the history of the game and you're in a small market, you do everything you can to build around that player. That's what the Colts are, like it or not. You know, they've been in the playoffs 9 straight years. That's an NFL record, by the way. They win 10 to 14 games every time he plays. To me, you can't really blame them for building around him when you consider all that success. You know, last night they gave the Steelers a great game. They lost by 3 points. The defense finally showed up. But without Peyton, this is probably a 4-win team. And I have said that for years. You know, my friends and family will attest that I've always said if Peyton ever goes down, you're not going to have a Matt Castle in New England situation where they went 11-5. They'd probably win between 4 and 6 games, and that's just basically who they are. So here's your chance to bash the Colts. I know you're just waiting for it. Go ahead.
I think it's kind of funny that you said the Colts defense showed up last night. I think it was more of a fact of the Steelers having kind of a down week in preparation, saying, you know, and just the Colts, we don't have to really work that hard. Ben Roethlisberger seems like that type to me, who, you know, doesn't really put forth a whole lot of effort, especially early on in the season. They had a couple lucky turnovers that, you know, that kind of prevented the game from getting out of control. You know, but, you know, they did have the score, which, you know, without that score, the game doesn't even get close. So, you know, they did nice things, but it wasn't any, like, spectacular performance out of them. I think the Steelers are a little overrated this year, so I wouldn't read too much into that. I think the Steelers are kind of getting older and haven't had the great influx of younger players, and they have injuries to deal with this year. So, anyway, part of blaming the Colts for, you know, not having Peyton Manning, I do blame the Colts organization a little bit because they put all their eggs in the Peyton Manning basket, which is okay. You build around a quarterback, that's all right with that. But to not have a backup all these years is ridiculous. It was laughable that we had Jim Sorge But you guys had Jim Storgi as a backup quarterback for that many years. Now you got Curtis Painter and Terry Collins. And, you look at the way Philadelphia's run their team. They get rid of Donovan Knapp, but they know Michael Vick's ready. They have other guys. You know, Mike Kopka, kid from Northwestern. He's halfway decent. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but it happens all the time in the league where backups step up and become great quarterbacks. Happened twice in New England. Wetzel goes down 10 years ago. Brady takes over. Brady goes down a couple of years ago. Castle takes over. Led him to the playoffs. Hasn't done a whole lot since, but he's a serviceable quarterback. He's not going to make a fool out of you like Terry Collins is this year so far. Same thing with Tony Romo. You know, somebody got hurt down there. Romo takes over. All of a sudden, guy from nowhere. So I think you really got to put a lot of blame on the front office for not having a backup plan ready for a 35-year-old quarterback. Yeah, he's started 200 and some games in a row, so you really don't think you need to worry about it. But the NFL, he can't make it through on backup plans. So
I don't know. It's just hard for me to blame the front office when you win 10 or more games every year, and he's never missed a game. I agree they should have a backup quarterback, but I don't think they're going to spend a lot of money on anyone who's really worth much of anything when he plays so many games. But, you know, to me it's kind of a similar thing as LeBron James in Cleveland. You know, they built a good team around him, but if you take him out, we saw what they did this past year, and that's just kind of where I stand on the Colts. ESPN reporting today, Jim Irsay is saying he won't play at all this season. Not a coincidence to me that it's coming a day after they fell to 0-3. You know, if they were competing a little bit, I think he'd have a shot at coming back. But to me, no sense of doing that, even, you know, if you have no shot, which clearly the Colts, with the losses to the Browns and Steelers and Texans, are not going to have. Real quick statement here, or agree or disagree kind of game here before we get to the Bears. I believe that Peyton Manning means more to the Colts franchise than possibly anybody else other than Michael Jordan to the Bulls ever in sports. And the reason I say that is because the Colts would not even be in the town of Indianapolis if it wasn't for Peyton. They were 2 years away from getting out of town and moving to Los Angeles or somewhere else, Las Vegas even, they were talking about. So what do you think? We see how terrible they are. I'm not just talking about how good is he for your team. I'm just talking about what he means to a franchise. Can you? I mean, maybe Brett Favre and Green Bay meant that to them at that time. What do you think? What are your thoughts? Absolutely. Well, we'll shift our focus now to the Bears. I remember you kind of thinking they may be in trouble this year, maybe not being a playoff team. What are your thoughts, early thoughts on them so far through week three?
It's early in the season. Don't like to panic. But, last year we started out subpar. You know, we had a game that Sunday night or Monday night game against the Giants last year where Cutler got knocked out with a concussion, took like 9 sacks in the first half. And the offensive line just doesn't seem to be fixed this year. Last year, as they went through the season, Mike Marks, who seems to be the biggest egomaniac in sports right now outside of LeBron James, thinks that he can just throw the ball around anytime he wants, even though he doesn't have an offensive line to protect his quarterback. So in yesterday's game, the last stat I saw it towards the end of the game said they passed the ball 38 times and only ran it 11. Not going to win in the NFL doing that when you have an offensive line that I could start for, and I weigh about 180 pounds. So defense looks good. Defense is already going to look good in Chicago. We always play the Packers tight for the most part. I think we kept the Packers attack suppressed a little bit tomorrow or yesterday. But if we can't step up and learn how to block somebody out of pass protection, it's going to be a very long season, and I have a feeling Jay Cutler will probably be in a wheelchair by the end of it.
Now, the NFL as a whole, what do you think we got a couple minutes left here. What are your surprises that you have in mind? Obviously, the only AFC team that's undefeated is the Buffalo Bills. I don't know if anyone saw that coming.
Yeah, you know, Bills, Cleveland, and Detroit all have one loss between them. Very impressive. You always see a lot of hot starts out of unexpected teams at the beginning of the season, and then things kind of average out as the year goes on. Fitzpatrick and Buffalo is looking really good, throwing the ball all over the place. I might go to a counter-argument here and say some of the shocks so far this season on the negative side would be the fact that the Patriots' defense just is embarrassing. They're getting shredded for like 400 yards a game passing 3 weeks into the season each week, and if they don't stop that, they're not going to be going anywhere in the playoffs, much less if they get to the playoffs. I think the Chiefs are a real disappointment. You give them some credit for the fact that they have some injuries, but that was like a real up-and-coming team last year, so it could be a real disappointment. They could be the easily the worst team in the league competing for the Colts, obviously, with the Colts, obviously, if you don't get Peyton Manning back. Other than that, you know, it's pretty average here in the NFL so far. D'Angelo Hall running his mouth to about tonight's game. He's going to hit Tony Romo in the ribs and try and hurt him, which I think is funny because I've been watching the NFL my whole life. I've never seen D'Angelo Hall actually hit somebody. So
I don't
be the first if he does that.
Well, the NFL is so exciting every year. That's why fans love it. And we've been talking on the program about how there's, you know, probably 10, 12, maybe even 15 teams sometimes that you feel like have a chance of winning a title. And that's a great thing about the NFL. We are out of time on TY's 20. We thank you for joining us. Andrew, as always, it's been a pleasure. Thanks for stopping in. All right, take it easy. Thanks again for listening to TY's 20, and join us next month on the program. As Harry Carey used to always say, only the shadow knows. Take care.